Welcome to He Leadeth Me, a podcast dedicated to the spiritual formation of focused missionaries, students, parishioners, and friends. I'm Jessica. I serve Focus as Manager of Spiritual Formation. I've been with Focus for 11 years, and sometimes I'm referred to as Focus's spiritual godmother, which is a title that I absolutely love. And I'm here today with Father John Ignatius Ezrati. Father is a Focus National Chaplain and a priest with the Melius Christi Religious Order. Father, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Jess, thank you so much for having me, especially in this first podcast of He Leadeth Me. It's an honor, so thank you so much. I am so thrilled. As you say, I'm a priest with the Melius Christi Order. People already got my accent. I was born and raised in Argentina. I've been in the States now for 11 years, and I've been working with Focus for 6 years. So I'm so glad to be with you today and to share this time with all the missionaries and friends who are listening to us.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. You're such a gift to Focus. You've been in the United States for about as long as I've been with Focus.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 11 years. It would be 12. Yeah.
That's incredible. So before we jump into today's topic, I wanted to talk a little bit more about our desire to start a podcast. You were really one of the first people that I talked about that with. And for me, for the past 11 years, I've just really noticed the spiritual hunger in our missionaries and also in the people that we serve. It's really inspiring to me to see this hunger. They want to know more about God. They want to go deeper in their prayer lives. And we teach classes at NST. We offer some formation through our online content bridge for specifically our missionaries. We offer retreats and other opportunities, but there's just this desire for more. And so I wanted a forum where we could offer teaching and commentary on different spiritual topics and hopefully inspiration that would be very accessible to our missionaries and our friends. How about you, Father? Why did you want to start a podcast?
You know, when you mentioned this to me, I was so excited. I think the podcast is a great way to live out the Great Commission. Jesus sends us to all nations, all people, you know, and we teach at NST and we have all these resources, but you know, there's limited time and not everyone gets to receive them. So I think that having a podcast opens up the possibility to reach everyone. First and foremost, obviously, our staff, our missionaries, our friends. But then you never know. I mean, it could reach every place in the earth. I mean, we hope for that. That is what Jesus wants. So it's just a great opportunity to share the gospel and to share what we have received. And that is something that I always like to say, everything that we share here is nothing that we came up with. It's just what the church has always taught, that we were taught, somebody taught us, and we want to share what we learned. So it's a way to share the good news of the gospel.
Yes. And you mentioned wanting to care for the missionaries. I know that you often make campus visits, you lead retreats and other things, and yet this is an opportunity for you to care for the missionaries. And I was thinking about what our first episode should be on right at the beginning of the new school year. And I was thinking just about how missionaries often have so many goals and they're going to implement so many spiritual practices in this next year. And there's so much advice out there for them in books and other teachings. And so I was just kind of curious, like you as our national chaplain, you know our staff, you know our students, and you're getting to know more our parishioners. What are five recommendations that you have for especially our missionaries, but everyone as we're going into this new school year? Let's just count them down. What's your first recommendation?
Yeah, that question is super.
In particular order, are they?
Yeah, it's an awesome question, actually. And when I thought about it before, I said, well, I mean, only five. That's so many things that we could talk about. But I think that there are five things that for missionaries, parishioners, would be very useful as we begin this new year. And we want, we have to remember that our goal is to become saints. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. Holiness is to imitate Jesus. So I thought about five things that are very realistic, very concrete things that we can put into practice as soon as you finish this podcast. You can say, well, I can do this right now. So the things I thought about are five, as you asked for. The first one being consistency with our plan of life, which is perseverance in our prayer. And I will delve into that in a few minutes. Then the second thing is the practice of the presence of God, this awareness of God being in our life, and to make sure that we recognize his presence in our daily lives. The third practice is what we call the daily examen. And I know that you want to go deeper into this particular topic, and we will for sure. The fourth is to make sure that we try to cultivate virtues. You know, sometimes we tend to see our spiritual life many times in a negative way, in the sense, I don't want to sin, which obviously is the first step, but there's much more than that. So to cultivate virtues, what are the ways in which I can become more like Christ? And the fifth concrete practice was just to make sure that we have a spiritual direction, a frequent meeting with the spiritual director, not sporadic, you know, once every blue moon, but, you know, a frequent meeting with our spiritual directors. I think that these five things will be very concrete, very easily put into practice, and they will make a huge difference in our spiritual life.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Those are very practical points. I love things that are concrete. Let's start with that first one. So you say consistency in a plan for life. First of all, what do you mean by plan for life?
You know, when I say plan for life is all those spiritual practices that we perform in order to dispose ourselves to receive God's grace in our lives. You know, God is always ready. He's always willing to give us his grace, but he wants our cooperation. And our cooperation is precisely to open ourselves to that grace. We don't deserve grace. We don't earn God's grace. Grace is always a gift that we have to ask for, but we can certainly open our hearts so that we can receive that grace. And that's what we do every time we pray a holy hour, every time we go to Mass, and we try to go to Mass every day, right? The missionaries are encouraged to go to Mass and receive the Eucharist every day. We go to frequent confession and we receive God's mercy in the sacrament. We examine our conscience every day. I always suggest missionaries to spend some time every day with spiritual reading, 15 minutes. So all these practices are what we can call a plan of life. A plan because it's something that is kind of set, structured. But again, it doesn't produce grace. It doesn't earn God's grace, but it disposes us to receive God's grace. So the first point is consistency, because it is easy to say, well, I will do my holy hour every now and then. I will go to Mass every now and then. And we're talking here of every day. You know, sometimes it becomes kind of difficult to be faithful to that consistency. We're tired, or we feel down one day, or we have other things to do. And precisely those days when it becomes more difficult, when we can say, I don't want to pray today, because it happens to us, it happened to the saints. Well, that is a great opportunity to show our love for God, to show him how much we love him, because we need to remember that our love doesn't depend on our feelings. And that is a mistake that we may make. I don't feel anything in my prayer. I don't feel anything when I go to Mass. Well, that means that I don't love God. No, that is false. Love is shown by how much we do for Christ and how much I would say we want to do for Christ. Let us put this example. I always like to put this example. Imagine a mother of several kids who is very busy. She gets up at 5 a.m. to prepare a breakfast, get the kids ready for school. Then she drives them to school, and then she drives them to sports, all the things that mothers do. And by the end of the day, she's exhausted. It's 10 o'clock at night. She's ready to go to bed. The only thing she can think of is going to bed. The kids are all in bed. And when she's about to get into bed, she hears one of her little boys say, Mom, come over. So she goes, what's up? I am sick and I want you to stay with me until I fall asleep. And she thinks, oh, I want to go to bed. But she sits there and stays with her little son until he falls asleep. And maybe that is an hour. So my question is, does she want to be there next to her son? Well, I would say the answer is yes and no, because her desire is to go to bed, and that is what she wanted. But she is with her son. So she does want to be there. Even though she's dreaming about something else, she wants to be in bed. She would love to be in bed. She loves her son so much that she stays with him until he falls asleep. In a certain way, we can say that the same happens with us and God. Sometimes we would like to be somewhere else, or we would like to be in bed, or we are tired or whatever, and we make that effort to be with God. So nobody can say, I don't want to be here, because if you are there, you want to be there. So it's very important to distinguish. I call it to want or to desire something, but don't worry so much about your feelings. That consistency is what we, when we show God that we really care for him. Now, another question. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think you're saying two really important things here. One is you need to have a plan. And two, you need to be consistent with it. And I think for our missionaries, the plan is somewhat given to them. Like they have a daily holy hour. They're encouraged to go to daily mass. For our students and parishioners, maybe they need to sit down and come up with a plan. I've also heard a plan of life called a rule of life, which some people don't like the word rule because it can sound like a monastic community. But I love where that word comes from, because monastic communities called their rules rules because the word actually came from a garden. And a rule was the thing that a plant would grow up on, like a tomato plant. Now we'd call it a cage. But the rule gave it structure to protect it, protect the fruit from predators, and enable the plant to grow as much fruit as possible. And so when we have a plan or a rule, that structure enables us to bear fruit. But you also made a really important point that you got to be consistent with it. What have you seen in the lives of missionaries or students who are not consistent with the plan that they committed to?
Well, consistency is essential because it is it's precisely what makes the habit of prayer, the habit of loving God. Not that the one who doesn't follow the rule, as you're saying, doesn't love God. I'm not saying that, but it's a way to show God our love, but also, as I said before, to dispose ourselves, to open our hearts in order to receive God's love. And it's interesting what you are saying about those people who have to make the plan, make the rule. That is something that I remember when I first started with spiritual direction when I was 17 years old. The first thing my director told me is, well, you got to have a rule of life, a plan of life. And it was hard for me to get used to it. But once I got used to it, it became part of my life. The organization of my schedule revolves around those aspects of my plan of life that are essential. And another thing that is important to remember is that it's something that we freely embrace. Nobody is pointing a gun at us saying, you got to do this. We really want to have some structure. Structure is good. We cannot depend on a structure. A structure is just something that helps us do what we need to do. But it's always good to have a structure. I think that it's part of our human nature.
Yeah, you're right. And then the structure enables us to also have the spontaneous prayer and other things that are so important. You mentioned that your second point was to practice the presence of God. And I imagine having a structure really enables someone to be able to do that. Can you talk more about the presence of God?
Yeah, exactly. The structure enables us. We have to remember, though, that we are not machines. So the structure is always a means that we use to remind us of our duties towards God and how we want to open our hearts to his grace. So what is the presence of God? We would say that it's kind of an awareness of God in our life, to be aware that God sees us, he hears us, he's always there for us with his grace. Now, to have this presence of God, this awareness, doesn't mean by any means that we have to be constantly thinking of God, because that would be crazy, actually. It would be impossible. It would be insane to be all day thinking of God. We need to focus on what we are doing. So if you are baking something, and instead of putting your attention to what you're baking, you're thinking of God, you will burn whatever you're baking. So, I mean, you have to focus on what you are doing. But this presence of God is this awareness that God is around. So there are two ways. One is what I would call it the virtual presence, which has nothing to do with the virtual universe that we have now with all the technology. Virtual means that I know that God is there, and I make an act of awareness, especially in the morning. When I get up in the morning, my first thought should go to God. And besides or after thanking him for a new day, I can just offer him everything that I will do during the day. So I will acknowledge his presence. I will acknowledge that I will walk in his presence. And I want to give him everything that I will do. By doing that, which is very simple, and it takes only 1 minute, you are entrusting your entire day to God, and God will be present in that day. Now, this virtual presence can be, let us say, actualized, becoming real, if you want, throughout the day. By actualizing or by making it real, what I mean is to make it intentional. So, for example, you're going to make a phone call to invite a student to a Bible study. Make a prayer before that. Or you are going for a walk, and before you leave the house, you entrust this walk to the Lord. Or you're going to send a text. Well, just say, Jesus, I'm doing that for you. But also, during the day, imagine that you spend a day in your house or doing other things. Just become creative to say, well, I need to remind myself of the fact that God is in my house. So, for example, one thing that I usually do is I have a holy card on the door of my fridge. So I go to the fridge. And I go several times a day, and I see the holy card, and I say, Jesus, I love you. And I'm actualizing that presence of God. Or next to my computer, I have a crucifix. So I see the crucifix, and I say, Jesus, thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for the gift of redemption. So it's kind of being creative. Different things. You can put an alarm in your cell phone, for example, that goes off several times a day. And when it goes off, you say, Jesus, you stop, and you reoffer your stuff to Jesus. So just imagine the difference that this awareness of God's presence will make in your life. If I am aware that God sees me, that he hears me, that he is around me, I will pay much more attention to what I do. I will make it with more love. I will try to avoid sin, actually, because God is seeing me. He is there. So it's a habit that we want to create that will protect us from sin and will encourage us to love him more and more.
And I can imagine that if somebody is really struggling with dryness in prayer, feeling like God is far away, desolation, that practice of reminding themselves about the presence of God would be such a consolation in difficult times, as long as you're consistent with it.
Absolutely. You know, St. Ignatius of Loyola, at the end of the exercises, he proposes this beautiful contemplation called the contemplation to attain love. And one of the ways in which, a love of God, obviously, so one of the ways in which he suggests the person to grow in that love for God is that awareness of his presence. Not only outside of oneself, but also the interior presence of God by the dwelling of the Holy Trinity, the Blessed Trinity in our heart. So there's so many ways in which we can be aware of God's presence in our life. And as you say, that will help, of course, our prayer.
Now, you mentioned St. Ignatius of Loyola. That leads us into your third recommendation, the examine prayer. Now, Father, I have to admit, I have had a conversion to the examine prayer, but I used to struggle with this prayer so much because it has 5 steps. And I'm one of those people where as soon as you tell me what to do in prayer, I'm no longer praying. And, you know, I'd struggle with little things like, okay, it's an examination of my day, so I'm going to do it before I go to bed. And then at 11 o'clock at night, I'm like, I just want to go to bed. And yet I've been more and more drawn to this prayer because of how it makes us aware of God's presence throughout the day and how I'm so much more aware of how he's been speaking to me. Can you talk more about why you think it's so important for the missionaries to do this examine prayer and to do it daily?
Yeah, I think that the examine is so essential for somebody who wants to grow in that relationship with Christ and in the life of holiness. And as you mentioned before, we are going to to delve into this exam more in depth later. But I think that the great thing of the exam in prayer is that it puts our life in the right perspective. It helps us see who we are in relation to God. Because as you well said, it is not just an examination of conscience. It includes an examination of conscience, but it is way more than that. So it's about acknowledging God's presence and action in my life. It's about thanking him for all the good things that he gave us, those that I know of and those that I don't know of. But then, yes, it's about going through my setbacks, my failures, but it doesn't stay there. When I examine my conscience, it's not just to make a list of my sins for my next confession. I want to go to the root of those weaknesses that I find in myself so that with God's help, I can work on them and change for the better. And the examine helps me do that. Moreover, at the end of the examine, we want to make this commitment, this resolution, to try to be better. So I know that I failed today in this way. I don't want to fail again. And we ask God for his help. We entrust ourselves to him. So it's so, so important because, again, it puts our life in the right perspective with God. We depend on God for everything. And God is the one who will transform us. So the daily examine makes us know ourselves better and makes us know God in our lives better.
Now, you say that it's more than just recalling your sins for confession. Could you really briefly go over those five steps for everyone so that they can see how it's different than an examination of conscience?
Yeah, when you examine your conscience, you just say, you just sit down and say, well, what did I do wrong, right? In this case, you will put yourself in the presence of God first and foremost because it is a prayer. So the first thing is you are praying. So you will put yourself in the presence of God. Then you will go through your day and you will give thanks to God for the day, for all the good things that he gave you, for all the good stuff that you received from him. So for the day, and when you see all the good things that you did, you will praise God for those things. Then you're going to go through the day and you will focus more on the negative aspect. What are the setbacks, the failures, the weaknesses that you experienced? And what are the things that you did wrong? You have to acknowledge that we did those things wrong. And we are going to try to see those roots. Why did I act this way? What led me to this particular weakness of mine? Because it's easy to say I was lazy or I was not kind to my teammate or to my neighbor. Okay, the next question is why wasn't I kind to my neighbor? Or why was I lazy? Why did I put this off? So we try to go to the root and then we're going to make this resolution to try to be better. So we always say, well, what can I change in my life? And say, well, God, give me your grace so that next time when I face this temptation, when I face this occasion, I will be stronger to overcome it. And moreover, we even think of the ways in which we're going to overcome it. So as you see, it's way more than just a list of sins. It's a time of prayer in the presence of God that allows us to know ourselves better, so that then we can be better for the glory of God.
And I love how it begins with gratitude. You look at the blessings that God has sent you that day first. And then when your heart is kind of warmed with his love, then you look at your reactions. Did I receive his love or were there ways that I turned away from him? But there's always this emphasis on God's love being bigger than our faults. And when we commit faults, it's okay. We can make a resolution to do better tomorrow through Christ's grace. So I think that's a tremendously powerful prayer. And I would love it if everybody listening to this podcast committed to praying this prayer daily, even for 1 month, and just noticing the change in your spiritual life before and after. Now let's talk about your fourth point here, cultivating virtue. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, which is a kind of consequence of the daily examine. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, you know, sometimes people look at their spiritual life as the absence of sin, which is true. I mean, it's part of it. But the focus is not just on not sinning. That is one aspect. When we love God, we will avoid offending him. To sin is to offend God. So we will avoid offending God. But does way more in our spiritual life. As we said at the beginning, our journey to holiness consists in the imitation of Christ. We want to be like Jesus. And of course, this will include avoiding sin because Jesus is sinless, but it is more than that. It's about growing in virtue. It's being like Jesus. How would Jesus act if he were in my shoes? So in a practical way, and we can one day maybe go deeper into this, but just for the beginning of the year, why don't you pick one or two virtues that you would like to grow in during this year? We're starting the year. You're about to go to campus. You're going to be there with your new team, new students. What are the virtues that you want to grow in? Maybe it is patience. Maybe it is diligence. Maybe it is temperance, whatever that might be. And then ask God for his grace so that he will help you grow in those virtues. And then make a plan. We go back to the same idea. Make a plan of what you will do in order to cultivate those virtues. Whether it is, again, temperance, and you will make a plan about eating, or if it is laziness, you will make a plan about getting up early in the morning on time. If it is patience, you will make a plan of how to treat your teammate or that person that maybe it is more difficult for you to deal with. You know, whatever that might be, each person is different, but make a plan, ask God for his grace, and examine yourself every single day about how you are doing. And you will see by the end of the year, you will have grown a lot in that virtue by the grace of God. And I think it's very practical, very concrete, and something that will make us advance a lot on this journey towards holiness.
Yeah, it's like what Dr. Sri always says, what you do is not as important as who you become. And I think that for me, my day is so much more meaningful when I wake up and one of my first thoughts is, how am I going to grow in virtue today? So I remember a time in my life when I was just so busy. When I'd wake up in the morning, I'd automatically start thinking about all these things that I had to do. And in the evening, I would kind of look and see, okay, did I accomplish everything that I needed to do? Well, let's see, what did I do today? I went to this many meetings, I answered this many emails, I made fun of John Zimmer. And so, you know, my day was a good day. I finished everything. And yet it seemed like even though I completed all of the tasks on my list, I felt kind of empty. And then when I started asking myself, okay, how am I going to grow in virtue today? Then at the end of the day, even if I just did one thing to grow in virtue, my day felt so meaningful because I was becoming who God wanted me to become. And my eyes were set on heaven rather than on all of the things that I had to do. But as we're talking about this, one thing does occur to me in looking at how to grow in virtue. I'm the type of person where I will pick a virtue and I'm like, okay, I'm going to grow in this virtue this month. And then I go to mass and the priest preaches on a different virtue. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds so amazing. And I can see all these different ways that I fail in that virtue. That's the one that I need to grow in. And this will happen through talks that I hear or homilies or suggestions from friends. And pretty soon I want to work on a zillion different virtues. And I suppose it goes back to what you were saying about consistency, but how do you pick the virtue that you want to work on?
Well, you know, all of us have to work on a lot of virtues. If you want to be like Jesus, just imagine, right? So I think that the way to pick the virtues you want to start with is, I would say those who are more noticeable in your life, maybe, that you notice the most. I mean, the virtues or the defects that you go to confession for the most. And then if they're more exterior, you know, that can, you know, cause some scandal or disedify somebody, you want to pick those. That is one way to pick. However, I would say that this question just leads us to our fifth practice, which is spiritual direction, because no one is a good judge of oneself. So I would suggest that as you pick your virtues, those virtues that you want to work on, you look for guidance. We all need guidance. So a spiritual director will help you also see if you are in the right direction regarding the virtues you want to work on. And it will happen that as you are working on two virtues, then you listen to a podcast or a homily, or you read a book and you say, oh my gosh, I need to work on this virtue as well. Well, write it down and you just work on that next year, you know, I'll bring it out to the spiritual director. But it is very important, as you well said, Jess, the consistency, because one of the tricks of the devil will be to distract us. So he will, when he sees that we made the decision to work on a specific virtue, he will do everything he can to divert us from that fight. So one of the ways he will use is, oh no, you gotta work on all these other virtues. And if you encompass a lot, you encompass nothing. So we have to be consistent. And I think that one of the best ways to pick up the virtue, as I said before, just try to pick that one that is more noticeable, or the defect that is more noticeable, or the virtue that you think you need the most, and then go to your spiritual director. Now, spiritual direction is more than something advisable. I would say that it's something that is necessary, okay? If we want to really grow in our relationship with Christ, if we want to grow in holiness, we need a director, because it's very hard for us to just direct ourselves. Now, what is a director? It's a person who is knowledgeable in the spiritual life, who knows how God works, and also who knows how the devil works, and will help you discern what is going on in your life, whether it is in your prayer life or the motions, inspirations, ideas that you may be having in prayer, but also will help you with those virtues that you want to grow in. We'll give you a direction to say, well, you know, you want to grow in this virtue, but I suggest that maybe this one is a little better for you. And, and he will always suggest, or he or she will always suggest you. And also, he will always help you in any situation that will make an impact in your relationship with Christ. Sometimes it is not something directly spiritual, but it's something that is going on in your life and affects your relationship with Christ. So you will talk with your director about that, and they will help you. Now, I would say, now that we are beginning this new year, that finding a spiritual director is one of the first things you should do once you get to campus. And if there's a parishioner that is listening to us or another friend of ours, just start right now. Try to find a director, because it is so, so important to entrust our spiritual lives to somebody that will be inspired by God. We need to trust that God will give us one of his instruments, because the director is just an instrument in God's hands to guide us on this journey towards holiness. And for the missionaries, guys, just make an effort and try to find a director now. If you can't find a director close to your campus where you're at, but you have to try, okay? But if you can, we, the national chaplains, are always available. We want to make ourselves available for you also for direction. So it's very easy to reach out to us. Focus will give you all the ways in which you can reach out, and we will always be willing, ready, and super happy to help you out. Now, it is always more advisable to have in-person direction. That is why I suggest that you try to find a director where you are at. But it happens, and sometimes it is very hard, or you know, you don't find a director. So, well, we can make use of technology, and we can have meetings, you know, what we call the virtual meetings, but they are serious meetings of spiritual direction. And so I want you to know that you can count on all of us. There are several national chaplains that want to be your spiritual fathers. So come to us, and we will be very, very happy to help you out.
You know, Father, once I was asking around, just, you know, how many of you have spiritual directors? And I remember speaking with one missionary, and I asked him if he had a spiritual director. And he's like, oh yeah, I've got 5 of them. But his point was, he's got a layman with Opus Dei that he meets with, but then when the national chaplains are in town, he talks with them. And then if he goes on a retreat and there's a good priest, he'll talk with that person, but not just on the retreat, maybe he'll follow up with them. And I think that there's a tendency in our staff to want to talk to everyone, because everybody has good spiritual insights for me. They're holy people. Why is it important to have one director?
You know, as I said, the director is somebody that is sent to you by God. And, you know, sometimes at the beginning of the meetings, you realize that maybe that director is not a fit for you. And that is right. We are human people. So sometimes he or she is not a fit and you will be, you will want to change. And that is fine. But I would say always give the opportunity to that person to get to know you better. And you know the person better. We are going to speak more at length on another podcast about spiritual direction. But to answer your question, I think that if you have two compasses that go together, they kind of they bother each other. They don't show the real north. So I think that you want one person who will get to know you so that you can see the north. You can see clearly where to go. And then, yeah, I mean, it happens. It happened in the past. It will happen in the future that sometimes, you know, you need to change your director. And that is fine. We see that in the lives of the saints. They many times had to change directors. But if you look at the saints and thinking of St. Teresa of Avila, for example, who had a very hard time trying to find good directors, or St. Faustina, who had two directors that helped her a lot, but they were two directors in different moments, or St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, they always trusted in one person and they would open their heart to them so that the person would act on behalf of God directly and God will use that person. When you go to different people, obviously God uses the humanity of the person, and sometimes people think in different ways or they have different opinions. So then when they have different opinions, who do you follow? What do you do? So instead of helping you, you will be more confused. So going back to what you said, Jess, I think that it's always trying to find one person. And if for whatever reason that doesn't work out, I mean, very openly and with all sincerity, you tell the person, you know, I don't think this is working out. And then you try to find another one. However, and we will speak about this when we speak about spiritual direction, you can't change director every month or every other month, because that means that the problem is not probably the director, actually.
Yes, and it's so easy when you have a question in your spiritual life to try to find the person who you think is going to give you the answer that you want.
Yeah.
If the person doesn't, then you just kind of hop around. And so what you said is so important. Like, you need somebody who knows you. And to really know a person in spiritual direction, you have to be with them over a consistent amount of time to see them in every season. And then they can really know you and advise you in a way that a very holy retreat director or a very holy priest who visits campus just can't, because they don't know you. So that's fantastic advice. I'm going to sum up what you have recommended for our staff and students this year. So everybody, make a plan of life and be consistent with it. Practice the presence of God. Pray a daily examine prayer. Cultivate the virtues and find a spiritual director. Those are the five practices that Father John Ignatius recommends for you as we begin this new school year. And please join us on our next episode. Father John Ignatius and I are going to dive more deeply into the examine prayer. We are going to talk about the steps of this prayer and about why this prayer is so important to your spiritual lives. And by the end of that episode, you are all going to want to be praying that prayer every day. So as we close here, Father, could you give us a blessing?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to reach all our students, staff, friends, parishioners through this technology. We thank you for all the wonders and miracles that you work every day in our souls, in our hearts. And as we finish this podcast, we ask you to bless everyone who is listening to it. Open their hearts to receive your love, to receive your mercy, to receive the warmth of the Holy Spirit, that they may always grow in this knowledge of your love for them, but especially go deeper in their relationship with you. As we finish today, bless them with your love, bless all their endeavors, and especially make them love you ever more. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Father, for your recommendations for this next year. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.